Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun, so call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought, so take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, he just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel it, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared about us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher, Dirty Drayton. And today is Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, I've got another important topic for you. I want to talk about your call or your calling. One of those topics, again, that seems like it doesn't have an esoteric background, but this is one of the most important topics because, again, this has to do with you and how you move forward in running your race, how you are empowered, or whether or not you're living your life on time or you're living your life on purpose. See, most of us are living our lives, but we have missed our call. It's like the universe has called you, but you neglected to or you failed to pick up the call. And so today we want to talk about that subject. We want to reveal, explain, illuminate, and simplify the meaning of your call and your calling. Everybody has a call. Everybody has a calling. However, most of us have missed the call. It's like within the universe, or when God called you, you forgot to pick up the phone. And it's very important, my brothers and sisters, that going forward, that you are able to understand the difference between your calling and your falling. Many of us, we've answered the call, but we failed to answer the call. And when we talk about the call is interesting because the way that you know that you have answered the call is that you will be able to see that there were four things that tend to happen when people answer the call. And before we talk about these four things that happen, really five, of people who really answer the call, we have to really break down what does that mean. What do I mean by when I say your spiritual calling, and how do you recognize it? Because if each of us have a spiritual calling, that means that we have a spiritual life and a physical life. Most of us, again, kind of confuse the difference between our job and our call. And so your job or what you do for a living is totally different from your spiritual calling. And many people have a difficult time really recognizing their spiritual calling. So when we look at what you are spiritually called to do, a lot of times it has nothing to do with your earthly giftedness. Many people look at what they are good at, and they think or assume that simply because I'm a good accountant in the world, that makes me a good accountant spiritually. But see, spiritual calling is your unique fingerprint. It's your spiritual identity. It's what I talk about in my Dear Kinnear reports and why I focus so heavily and put so much emphasis on the Dear Kinnear report, because it's your DNA level or your cellular level instruction. So this unique ability that you have is called your spiritual calling. It's your spiritual life. It's the thing that you are programmed. It's your prior disposition or your prior destiny or you've been predestined. And so this allows you to be very loyal, to be very trusted, and to be very productive. These things are normally missing a lot of times in our life when we do other things. But it's interesting because your spiritual calling gives you a certain level of loyalty that you may not have in other areas. Your spiritual calling also gives you a certain level of trustability that you may not have in other areas. And your spiritual calling also gives you a certain area or level of productivity that you may not have in other areas. And so when we talk about our spiritual calling, we have to understand that each one of us have a spiritual calling that the scripture talks about as a spiritual gift. And I mentioned this inside of your Dear Kinnear reports. And we talk about, you know, your spiritual gifts. Now, your spiritual calling and the way that it's manifested are the way that you drive or the vehicle by which the gift is expressed sometimes is different. And so your spiritual gift, again, is that inner aspect of you that is manifested and that promotes the outer development of you. Let me say that again. Your spiritual calling is the inner innate nature that promotes, again, the outer. So there is an inner drive, or what I call an inner chi, or your inner G, which is your energy. Your E-N-E-R-G-Y is your I-N-N-E-R-G, your inner God, your inner growth. So your inner growth, again, promotes your outer development. So inside of you, there is a particular characteristic that you have. For me, it's teaching. Some people, it's wisdom. Some other people, it's knowledge. Some people, it's administration. Some people, again, it's discernment. Many of us have more than one inner gift. And the way that you can tell your inner gift is it's attached to your outer development. Now, let me break this down for you just a little bit deeper, because this is very important that you enter over and understand your inner gift, that leads to your outer development. Many people don't have no outer development in the spirit realm because they have not contacted, they have not developed their inner gift. And so when we look at this inner development or this inner gift, your inner gift is designed for one thing, growth. So many people, as I will be discussing in 2017, they get to a brick wall and they can't get past their ego or their disposition or their demons because they have not contacted the phone or the vox, V-O-X, that is called in the Greek, or the vocare, V-O-C-A-R-E, that is said, is talked about in Latin. So there is a inner calling or an inner connection where God connects his mind, the universe connects its mind, the ether connects his mind. This is what Nikola Tesla and all the greats did. They tapped into the ether, they tapped into the mind of God, and they said, let this mind, they made themselves equal with God, meaning that they put on the mind of Christ. They put on super consciousness. They put on what is called quantum consciousness. So this inner growth allows you to basically become one with the universe. That means you're able to oscillate. You're able to vibrate on the same frequency as the universe. So therefore, the universe is all-knowing. So if you want to know anything, if you are able to tap into the universe, how do you tap into the universe? With your inner chi, your inner growth. This inner growth allows you to tap into a frequency, a wave of vibration that other people can't. And the reason that other people can't, because they have not done what I'm getting ready to share with you today. They haven't picked up a telephone, the spiritual telephone, and they haven't connected spiritually with the universe. Now, the way that you connect spiritually with the universe is to identify, based upon your experiences, and we'll break down that a little bit later, on how to identify your spiritual gifts. Now, your inner spiritual gift is, number one, you have the inner gift of prophecy. That means that basically you're able to sense or foretell the future, not from a worldly perspective. But when I talk about prophecy, it's just a sixth sense. It's the inner knowing. It's this ideal or this understanding that you kind of sense. Now, in the church, it's called being an apostle. It's part of the leadership gifts, meaning that you just have an inner knowing of what direction to go. It's very similar to discernment, which is another inner gift. Another inner gift is discernment. Now, all of these inner gifts are very similar, but there is a big difference between each one of these inner gifts. The next inner gift that leads to outer growth is what I'm doing right now, didaktikos, or teaching. So, again, the ability to take information and regurgitate it or share it with other people. Another inner gift that people have or don't have is called knowledge or wisdom. Some people have the ability to know certain things that's different from prophecy. Prophecy is to foretell. Knowledge is to know the ledge. Knowledge is to know the difference between what works and what doesn't. Knowledge and wisdom are very, very similar. Knowledge is two words. It's the word know, and it's the word edge, or the word ledge. So knowledge is the ability to know, okay, how far do I go before I stop, before I fall off the cliff? Knowledge. Wisdom, again, has to do with the application of that knowledge. So wisdom and knowledge go hand in hand. If you have that inner wisdom, you always have knowledge. Because knowledge is what, wisdom is how. Knowledge is why, and wisdom is how I'm going to implement the why. Knowledge is why am I doing it? Because you understand it. Knowledge is understanding. Wisdom is the application of that understanding. Next, the next inner gift is spiritual help, or what they call the helps in the church. That means that you are a four. You're a worker. So a spiritual worker is an individual. This gift, again, allows you to have this again, I like to call it exertion. You are endued with exertion, the ability to put forth effort. Many people tire out. If you have this inner G, remember, it's inside of you, and it's a G. It's a little G. It's a growth mechanism. If you can identify with this, your growth is unlimited. Because you're out of development now, you're able to override all of your limiting beliefs. Now, the reason that you're able to override your limiting beliefs is because you can see through the people who take no action have no plan. People who take no action have no plan of action. The only reason that you're not more successful is you don't have a plan by which to become more successful. This is your plan. Pick up the phone. Tap into your inner G. This allows you to have your inner growth. So this inner growth now, again, the inner growth promotes your outer development. So if you don't have no inner growth, there will be no outer development. And so when we see people who lack, like for years, I had no outer development, a.k.a. fruit. So the inner growth is the seed. The seed was not given for you to eat. The seed was given for you to plant. So many of us, like I did, is I tried to use my inner seed to supply my outer need. Big mistake. Huge mistake. Can't come back from that. If you take your inner seed and try to supply your outer need, it's like a farmer who takes his crop and he eats the fruit and he doesn't store any seeds for next year. That's what's happening with many people. That's what I deal with my spiritual life and my spiritual gifts. So if you take your inner seed and you eat it, meaning that you try to use your seed, what's my inner seed? I have discernment. I have the ability to teach. I also have knowledge, wisdom and knowledge. Now, I've been using those three things to try to supply my outer need spiritually and financially. What happens is you are eating your seed. So next year when I have to plant so that way I can have some inner growth is my inner gift, my inner seed. That inner growth, again, gives me ideals. It makes room for me in the workplace because there is no room for me in the spirit realm. There's only room for my gift. The Bible says that your gift will make room for you, not you. Your gift, which is what I'm talking about today, makes room for your outer development. So you can live in the spirit realm if you developed your gifted realm, your energy. So many of us, we dissipate our energy by drinking, by promiscuous sex, by, you know, doing drugs, by eating genetically modified organisms, by, you know, drinking water that has fluoride in it, by not exercising, by doing all of these things. It takes our energy, and we're using it for unprofitable outer development. And this energy, again, is in the form of this seed that should be planted so that way you can grow. And I can see it because of your outer development. That's a call, a calling. And so everybody listening to this call, you either have discernment, you have the gift of prophecy, you have the gift of teaching, you have the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of working, or what the scripture calls helping or helps. Lastly, is the gift of administration. Many people are just extreme organizers. They are good administrators. They have the ability to organize their lives, or what I call charonomics. That is the household management of the soul. There are many people that have this ability to manage themselves and others. That's a gift that allows you to grow inward so that way it can be manifested outward. So if you are very good at managing things, not only yourself, but others, that's a gift. That is your seed. So you take that seed. The seed is given, again, so that way you can grow it. That allows you to know it. In other words, when you take this gift that I have, and so for me to learn, the way that I learn is through teaching. That's why I do so many shows. So when I want to learn something, I teach something. The best way to learn it is to teach it. For me, why? That's my gift. So I don't know, if I don't know something, I do a show on it. What does that do? That forces me to have an outside development. What is the outside development? By me teaching something that I have no idea, most of the time I come on this show, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just do a show. I don't even know. I was talking about, you know, the mark of Cain. I was telling, you know, I'm doing a show now. I was telling my wife the other night. Everybody said that they thought about it. I thought the mark of Cain was always, you know, Native Americans, because Native Americans can't grow facial hair. So for years, I thought that the mark of Cain was people who cannot grow facial hair. Because if you notice, I don't know, I've been on a lot of Indian reservations. I worked in Isleta. I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Las Lunas, and I worked on an Indian reservation. I worked with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Never saw a Native American with a beard. So I said, hey, that's the mark of Cain. But then last night I was thinking about it, and I had a profound bam, just a moment. Now, I got to know this, but I got to teach it. That's all I know. So I have no proof, no spirit, no scriptures, no nothing to back up what I think the mark of Cain is. So how do I develop it? How do I get out of development? By using my inner gift, which is, number one, discernment. Something in my spirit says that's the mark of Cain, even though nobody else is teaching it. Just like when I came up with Clarinomic and I came up with Didactic Discourse. Nobody else is doing those things. But my inner G, my discernment says, roll with it, brother. And I've been rolling with it, and it's been very successful. So I developed, again, spiritual therapeutics, which is a different way of doing what everybody else called life coaching or spiritual therapy or just therapy in different. I want to do something that was biblical-based. I want to do something that was spiritual-based. I want to do something that affected people on a DNA level. I want to do something that went into people's, was sold in the interest of thy word, reveals or unfolds the light. So I want to insert words into people's spirit, and it would unfold the light of their DNA. Because I knew that God placed books inside of us in the form of a code or a codex. And if I could open up and unravel that code and that codex, I could assist people on a spiritual level. So I had to experiment with myself. And it worked. Why? Because I had discernment. And then I used this discernment to go along with my wisdom and my knowledge. And then I taught it. And after teaching it, I started to develop some outward. If you take your spiritual gifts or your spiritual calling, it will manifest on the outward in the form of, number one, faith. Now, brothers and sisters, this is really dangerous. Now, this is what I got. This is what gets me in a lot of trouble, because I don't do fear. Faith is the opposite of fear. So when everybody else says, when the fire breaks out and everybody else is running away from the fire, you run toward the fire. See, faith doesn't shrink in the face of adversity. This is an outward development of an inward growth. This is an outward manifestation of an inside revelation. So inside revelation trumps outside demonstration. So, again, this outside demonstration of faith means that person that got faith, he knows something. What does he know? Well, he got knowledge. He got discernment. In my case, he's taught something. So it's different from everybody else's. So when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, everybody else is scarred. I'm not scarred. Because, again, I've already researched, and I realize that there is no death. And that valley is, again, is false evidence appearing real. But see, I know it's false, because I've already been down that valley before. So that's an outward development for me. This outward development is the result of an inward growth. But if you don't grow inside, you will have no development outside. So people who suffer from a lack of spiritual development outside, meaning that they have no power, they have a form of godliness, but they didn't have the power of godliness. They have no power. They got no fruit. They're like the fig tree. You usually walk by the fig tree. The fig tree had no fruit. And then it said that Yahushua was hungry, and so he cursed the fig tree and it died. Why? No outside development. So the first proof that you have spiritual development on the inside is you got mountain-moving faith, meaning that when everybody else is afraid, that the government is going to do this, this end of the world is coming, you know what, they're going to put us all in FEMA camps, you know what, this is going to happen, they got all these doom and gloom preachers out there. And don't get me wrong, doom and gloom may show up. I don't care. It doesn't affect me. I'm not a part of this doom and gloom stuff. Why? Because of the second outside development, miracles. So the ability to do miracles. Now, a miracle is something that cannot be explained scientifically. Every today's scientific facts was yesterday's miracles. Every miracle for me has a underlining scientific gnosis or fact. Just because we don't have the technology to discern it doesn't mean that that is not something that is a, again, miracle. Now, miracles are simply something that exceeds natural abilities, something that is miraculous. It's a unnatural, what it seems like not a natural ability, meaning that it's something that is the result of the empowerment of the Ruach or the Pneuma, or what we call the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, again, haven't really went through none of the scriptures. I'll give scriptures for people who, you know, like really need the scriptures, but I wanted to try to lay down these inner and this outer. And so miracles, again, are the result of this inside seed that you planted. And because you planted this seed, it allows you to oscillate or vibrate in the fruit of the Spirit. And so, my brothers and my sisters, this gives you the ability to actually do things that other people call miracles. So you have this miraculous ability. You have this empowerment by the Ruach or the Pneuma or the Holy Spirit. And this miraculous or these miracles, again, allows you to project certain outward outward ability to do certain things. Now, as far as what these things of the Spirit are, one of the biggest things of the Spirit is called charisma. Now, charisma has been charismatic. Most people, they don't associate that as a miracle. That is one of the biggest miracles on the planet. Now, charismatic, or being or having charisma, can be associated with being manipulative. Because being charismatic means that you have a compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire people to devotion. That's a miracle. Let me say the outward manifestation of an inward gift, charisma, charismatic. So, this is very dangerous. As I found out, people will associate your love and your charisma with flirting or being flirtatious, because charm and harm, there's one letter of difference. That's a C, and that C is consciousness. So let me make sure I am crystal clear on this one. The difference between harming someone and charisma, which means that I'm giving someone attention for the purpose of making them more devoted to consciousness, specifically Christ consciousness. Now, if I'm giving someone attention to make them devoted to, you know, me, that's harming the person. Because, again, I am putting myself, and I want the attention. I am not putting the attention on my gift and on my ministry, on my service, but I'm putting all of the attention on me. Charisma is a miracle. I don't know if you've seen some of the people that I've talked to. Some of these nuts that are hard to crack. They come in with all kind of attitude and all kind of ego, but the ability to compel. See, charisma is a type of leadership. It's an emotionally laden signal, charisma, or charismatic. But it inspires devotion to Christ consciousness. It means that this is a divinely imported psychological management, that this is a type of leadership that is extraordinary because it is value-based, meaning that it is spiritual-based. It is not ego-driven. It is a gift that comes from God that is the result of the inner working that you've done. And so this miracles are always, for me, one of the greatest miracles is this word, charisma. We call it charm. Now, people who demonstrate this gift, if they're not careful, they end up prostituting their gift. That's a whole other study for another time. That's what you see with a lot of Reverend Dr. Bishops out there. They end up prostituting their gifts, just like I did. And you end up getting yourself in trouble, just like I did. But that's not the original intent. That is the dark side of giftedness. So there is an outer development that I call miracles that is manifested in the form of being charismatic, or charisma, which is, again, this divinely empowered talent to compel through your attractiveness, whether it's a physical attraction or a linguistical attraction. This attracts people so that you can inspire them to devotion to Christ, devotion to consciousness, not devotion to you. So I shouldn't have no cult following. Christ has a cult following. They should follow themselves. So if I got a people that's following me instead of people that's following their own consciousness, then I'm using my charisma wrong. Now, there are some people that are just zealous, like I was. That's having all zeal and no knowledge. Well, that's their fault because they're not taking their inner gift and using it to develop their own outer development, because that's the thing that protects you from joining a cult. But you will fall in prey. You will manifest cult-like behavior where you have blind faith to a leader, blind faith to your consciousness or your sixth sense or your energy. That is where and that is who you should be following. You should be following your sixth sense. You should be following your own prophecy, your own discernment, your own teaching, your own word of wisdom, your own knowledge, your own ability to work, and your own administration, so that way you can produce your own faith. And you don't just have faith in faith. You have faith in the giver of that faith. You have faith in God. This allows you to do the works of God. And one of those works is healing. So there should be an outward development of healing. That's how I know you have an inner gift. That means I know that your inner God is activated. That means you have the chi, the prana, the pneuma, the ruach. You have been led. That means his mind is attached to your mind, and he's walking alongside of you, and he's giving you inner directions. So he's telling you, hey, this is going to happen next month. So I need you to prophesy. I need you to make a prophetic utterance. Now, you know the difference between prophecy. There's two types. One is speaking, again, with divine utterance. The other one is, again, speaking with the help of a demonic utterance. That's where we get the difference between the prophet, or what they call python and pytho. These are two Greek words. So the word python means to make a divine utterance, to make a demonic utterance. You're prophesying with the assistance of a lower entity, python, like the snake. Pytho means to prophesy with the assistance with divine utterance. Then you have discernment, you have teaching, you have the word of wisdom, you have the word of knowledge, you have the ability to work, and you also have the ability to be or to have organizational skills or management. If you, one of those gifts you got, most people have a plethora of them. They got five. Some people have all of them. And if you got all of these gifts, then you have faith. Then you have the ability to be charismatic, charisma. You have a certain attractiveness. People are attracted to you. They don't even know why. People just be staring at you. See, I used to think that people was really attracted to me. But then I was like, man, you know what? I looked in the mirror and it's like, I'm not that, I'm an okay-looking dude, but I'm not no Brad Pitt or no Denzel Washington. So I thought this especially from the opposite sex, I'm like, man, you know, why are these females hitting on me? Why are they attracted to me? They weren't attracted to me. They were attracted to my gift. Finally, when the light bulb came on, I'm like, duh. It's not about me. It was about my gift and the ability to take this inner gift and manifest it as, number one, faith. Number two, being charismatic. Number three, have a healing effect. Now, again, the healing is just like I talked about with the charismatic, which I said was a miracle. Now, most people don't take being charismatic as being miraculous. But trust me, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that don't got it. They are not charismatic at all. They are, they prunes. They walk around with their lips stuck out. They pissed off at the world. They are angry little dudes or dudettes. They got the Napoleon complex, and I don't know what short female out there is, but they got that complex. Many people don't have a diakonia, which is translated, again, administrations or ministry or service in the area of what is called energemata. So E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A-T-A, Greek, like pneumatica, means energemata, E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A-T-A, energemata, energemata. It means the inner workings or operations of a thing. So healing is the understanding of energemata. Let me spell it for you again. This is a Greek word, E-N. They're like the word energy. And that's what we're talking about, your inner chi, your energy, your E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A-T-A, healing. That is an outer development. But it's not the kind of physical healing. We're talking spiritual healing. That means that you got the ability, you have the administration understanding, operate on the inner workings to manifest on the outer working. It is the understanding, my brothers, that allows you to go in, and instead of using natural abilities, you are using your spiritual abilities because you are empowered by the Holy Spirit or the spiritual realm. Now, you can get all mystical with this if you wanted to, but it's pretty simple. It's just that you just have the understanding of how things work. Now, I heal people because I understand nightshade vegetables. I understand cell salts. I understand minerals and enzymes. I understand what I'm calling as theocentric nutrition. So I've talked to people and they've reversed diabetes. They've lowered their blood pressure. They've, you know, removed cataracts. They've done other things. Now, I didn't lay hands on nobody and speak in tongues. Nobody fell out, foamed at the mouth, kick over no chairs, and heal nobody. But I understand energemata, which, again, is broken down or is assisted by another Greek word, pneumatika, spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma, which means spirit, A-T-I-K-A, which means things. So spiritual things. So I understand how minerals and enzymes, I understand, okay, that if the body is acidic and then if the body is alkaline, and if I can change someone's body from an acidic state, okay, to an alkaline state, that disease cannot grow inside of an alkaline body. So I've just healed them. How did I heal them? Was it a miracle? You could call it a miracle. I just call it understanding, again, energemata, which is, again, the outer development of an inner gift, your energy, your inner chi, your inner I-N-N-E-R-G, growth. Inner growth is the result of you taking your seed instead of using your seed to supply your need and your need only. Use your seed to develop and to grow your outer development, which is one of the gifts, which is always in the area of faith, which is the opposite of fear. So when everybody else is running, you are walking. When everybody else is sweating, you chilling. When everybody else has false evidence appearing real, they're listening to Alex Jones and everybody else who's telling that the world is going to come to the end, that the aliens are coming, and there's this, that, and the other. And all that stuff may be true. But you have this inner peace. Not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that comes from your energy, your inner gift, which is your E-N-E-R-G-Y, your energy, which is your entity. E-N-I-T-I-E, an entity. So this entity, God, the universe, the ether, thinking stuff, I don't know what demographics or what denomination you're from, but whatever buzzword that fits your fancy, throw it in there. I don't have no buzzwords. I don't need to label it. I don't, because I know if I label God, I limit God. I'm not trying to limit God, so I don't put no label on God. But for the good Cretans, I know I need a label. So if you throw a label out there, you can call him Yahuwah, Yahushua, Yahweh, you know, Eastway, Highway, Byway, I call it whatever. Those are terms. Terms are labels. Labels are limits. Take God out your box, brother. Take God out the box, sister, so he can be God. And he can activate your inner growth. Because your inner gift, your inner growth, again, always is manifested as an outside development. No outside development is the result of no inner growth. And then there's this the ability to understand that your faith is the result of an inner gift, that your charisma, your charismatic, your ability to be attractive to help people to be devoted to the development of their own consciousness, not yours, is the result of an inner gift, an inner knowledge. The ability to have, again, to heal people by using common sense, which is your sixth sense. And then we have another one after healing, which is, again, speaking in tongues. Now, this is a cookie blower because most people think that it's, again, everything I'm talking about is not physical. So the scripture is a spiritual book. The word worship actually meant work for. Now, again, as I've talked about, and I have this inside of my book, and I break this down for people because this is a tough one. Because most people don't understand the outer development of this thing that we call speaking in tongues. So I've broken it down. Again, I have it inside of my book, Neurotheology. I also have a brief introduction on my Facebook page underneath my Facebook notes. So if you go to my Facebook page and if you click on the thing that talks about the Facebook notes, I break down the science of Yahuwah, Yahushua. So I give you the science behind what we call El or Elohim, which helps you understand the etymology of your beliefs and what I call glossolalia and exolalia, which is speaking in tongues. One's good, one's bad. Now, brothers, sisters, as I have inside of my book, and I have on some of my Facebook notes, this is scientifically proven. So, again, most people misconstrue glossolalia, spelled G-L-O-S-S-O-L-A-L-I, glossolalia, and exolalia, spelled X-E-N-O-O-G. Glossolalia, again, is what we call the vocalization of speech-like syllables. And so this form, again, the tongue moves, and as it talks about in most Pentecostal churches, it is classified as speaking in tongues. Exolalia, again, was described as what happened on the day of Pentecost when somebody was able to speak in tongues based upon something that they had learned beforehand or something that they understood. So glossolalia, again, is a term by which the scriptures clearly describes as an inferior gift of like prophecy or teaching. And so we have to understand there's a difference between these two terms. They both kind of are saying the same thing, but one, again, is something that is discernible to the human ear. It is a language that is not normally spoken by a person. Another one is a language that is spoken by a person. One is inferior and one is exterior, meaning that one has power and the other one doesn't. Now, the only reason that I'm bringing this up is because of the fact that the Bible says that every time there's a speaking of tongues, there should be an interpretation of those tongues. If it says that if there is an outward expression. So I'm not saying that I'm for or against it. I'm just saying that the science behind it, you have to understand the science behind it. And then there's a bunch of nuns who took part in this study, and I have all this out of my book. But all I'm simply expressing, exposing, and expanding to you today is the understanding of it. So let's break it down here just really, really quickly. So we have an outward expression. Now, tongues is a language. It's a form of communication. Let me say it again. What I'm doing right now is communicating with you. I'm communicating with you in a manner that is designed to promote inner growth. So that way you can have an outer display development. And so by this inside knowledge that I'm giving you, it motivates you, or should motivate you, to do something outside. So it's the ability, again, for me, everybody, this is different. It's the ability for me to say something or to put my words into a particular manner that allows you to grow. That's my outward development. But how can I do that? How do I know what words to say during today's show? Because of the gift of my inner gifts are now manifested. So it gives me to do something called exhortation, which is another word for encouragement, which is another word for to edify, which is another word for to build up. So the purpose of speaking in tongues is to do what? So that way I can sound, I can say words that are inaudible, that you don't understand. No, it's for the inner workings. So there's an outside or there's an inside spirit that allows me to say something extraordinary for the purpose of edifying, which means to build up, and exalting, which means to encourage, so that you can conform to the voice in your head, to what we call the church, what I call the kukka, or the ecclesia, or the super consciousness, or the Christ consciousness, or the Colostrum, or the christened, or the Christ consciousness, meaning for me, my church is inside of my head. It's not inside of a building. Now, can I go to a building? Absolutely. But it allows me to act priestly. It means now I have the ability to show mercy. I have the ability to actually show that I care for the needy. I have the ability to get involved with other people because I have the ability to carry myself as a king. And so your calling should give you a seed that allows you to have to develop an outward need, tool, an outward gift, an outward ability that allows you to do something, which is to supply a need that makes you priestly or kingly. In other words, there is something that's deposited inside of you that is manifested and should manifest outside of you so that when people that see you can interpret you as a priest or a king or a princess or a queen. This, again, allows you to carry yourself, my brother. It allows you to carry yourself, my sister, as royalty. That is why the scripture says that you are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. So these gifts, this call, if you pick up the phone and if you answer your spiritual calling, again, is simply going to answer for you and put you in contact with the Spirit. Basically, it is going to produce inside of you a bunch of questions. These questions are going to lead you to seek the answers. These answers are going to be found inside of you. And there is a, well, what I would like, you know, you can call a bad spirit, and there is a good spirit. So your spirit is going to talk to you. So how are you going to listen? That determines whether or not you receive your seed to supply, again, your outer development, not your need. Now, you can take your seed and you can eat it. It will supply your need for a while. But you're eating your seed, so you got nothing else to plant. So like any farmer will tell you, don't eat the seed. You're supposed to eat the thing that the seeds produce, brother. You're supposed to eat the thing that the seeds produce. So take the seed, and don't do what all these preachers say, hey, the seeds is going to supply your need. Oh, yeah, that sounds good on paper. I don't know no farmer that eats his seeds. He grows his plant. He eats the fruit, the outward development, but he keeps the seed to plant for next year's harvest. So your job is to take your seed. What is your seed? You either have the gift of inner knowing, prophecy. You either have the gift of being able to know what a person's intentions are, discernment. You got the gift of breaking down complex issues and making them simple so people can understand it, teaching. You either have the wisdom. You have the ability to apply. A lot of people can listen to didactic discourse, but they don't go home. They don't apply it to their lives. Somebody listen to the show, you have wisdom. Your wisdom has come from a lot of adversity. So now you have the ability to apply what other people know. Somebody out there, you're a great worker. You are endued with energy. You are able to accomplish a lot of things. You get up early morning. You get up at 6 a.m. and you don't go to bed till 8. You work all day, and you nonstop. Been doing it for years. Why? That's a gift, brother. That's a gift. So that's a seed that you have. Some people have the ability to organize stuff. They come in, they see a house that's messy. They can organize closets. They can organize people's, you know, homes. They can organize, you know, they're good event planners. They have a gift for organizing stuff, and they start, at least they should start with organizing themselves, organizing their own mind, their own will, their own emotion, their own imagination, their own intellect. When you organize that, again, those gifts allow you to manifest in the area of faith. That means that you run when the fire breaks out, when all hell breaks loose, everybody else is running because they're scared. You are walking towards the fire while everybody else is away. You are a spiritual fireman or a spiritual firewoman. That's faith. Next is charismatic. You have the ability to draw people to you. People come up to you and they say, hey, man, I don't know why, I need to talk to you. I just got a feeling I need to talk to you. So instead of saying, oh, I don't know what to talk to you about, no, that person is drawn to you because of your inner gift. Teach them something. Prophesy to them. Discern for them. Give them a word of wisdom. Give them some knowledge. Help them across the street. Work for them. Organize their spiritual life so they can be more productive. That's why that person is attracted to you. That's your miracle. You have the ability to perform a miracle in somebody's life if you use your charisma correctly. Next is this ability, again, to be interdramatic or interdramatica. That means you have the ability to take and use what this gift that you have. For me, it's teaching and it's discernment. So I meet somebody got high blood pressure, I can tell them, okay, that's the result of being dehydrated. So I'm going to heal you. I'm not going to lay hands on you. What I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you, hey, drink water, but just don't drink any water. It has to be detrusted water. The water that you're drinking is clumped together. So the water molecules are not separated. They've not been processed. So you got to drink some reverse engineered water that's distilled. The water must be distilled. It has to be God's water. The same way that, how do we get water on earth? Can you explain it to me? Well, the way I understand it is I research it, and water comes down from the cloud. It puddles into lakes and oceans. The sun hits it, and it evaporates, and the water goes back up into the cloud. The water then condenses in the cloud, and then the water then is released back down to the earth, and it goes through this cycle over and over again. It's cyclical. Your water that you drink, in order for you to lower your blood pressure, must be the same. Why? Because that water is like trash bags. Distilled water is dead water. People are drinking mineralized water, so the water already got something in it. You can't put no stuff, no dirt, no fat, no waste inside of a trash bag that's already full. And then people are drinking are eating inorganic minerals. The body can only absorb the organic stuff. So what I am telling the person will heal the person, but the person is not willing to work because they don't have that inner gift, because they ate their seed. They're working doing something else instead of working on applying the knowledge that I am giving them to assist them to become and to answer and to be able to oscillate and vibrate in Christ consciousness, meaning that you are full of wealth, you're full of health, meaning that you're full of wisdom, and you're full of love and compassion, so that way you can relate. You have this relatability. You have the ability to relate to other people. It is this process that takes your energy to manifest with your outer D. That is, your energy gift manifests with your outer D demonstration. So if you have no outside demonstration, it's an indication of a lack of inside revelation. Well, there is no inside revelation, there cannot be no outside demonstration. And it's not biblical demonstration. It may be demonic demonstration, but there will be no biblical, no spiritual, no universal, no love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. They don't exist unless somebody grew something inside of themselves by understanding and taking their spiritual inner workings, their operation, their inner jamata. And lastly, we talked about what we call speaking in tongues, which simply means, for me, communicating in an intellectual manner. That is a gift, brother. That is a gift. So a lot of people can talk, but I don't understand the word they're saying. So if I do these things, it allows me to be what? A priest. I am a royal priest. I am made in the image and the likeness of God. So I'm going to carry myself like a God. I'm not saying I am. I'm saying I'm going to carry myself like. I'm a king. And you are a queen. So we are involved in the administration of the messianic age, brother. We are involved in establishing heaven on earth. That is the whole purpose of tonight's show, today's show, so that you can open again and pick up the phone, answer your call. Because if you answer your calling, you're going to be able again to flow and to walk in your anointing. You cannot walk in your anointing unless you answer your calling. It is your calling that gives you your anointing. Your calling and your anointing go hand in hand. No calling, no anointing. And your anointing, again, is a thing that allows you to walk through the valley of shadow and death, and you fear no evil. My brothers and my sisters, this is all I'm doing in 2017. I'm taking 25 people. Please email me today. I have a free book for everybody listening to today's show. Just email me and I'll see you the free book. The book just explains this whole program of DNA activating, Christ activating, cellular activating, Christ consciousness, putting on the mind of Christ, so that way, again, you can answer the call so you can walk in your anointing, which is your gift. My brothers and sisters, email me, masterteacher32.com@gmail.com. Again, everybody that's on my email list, I've already sent it. Check your email. You already have the book. For everybody that's not on my email list, please email me at masterteacher32.com@gmail.com. That email address again, masterteacher32.com. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May your son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, is that a part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brother, as always, my sister, I yield to you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio. Tell you that you nice, snap out the acne, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams stay dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah.